Welcome back to Gals. We are here with Monique Tallon, and she is a women's leadership coach, trainer, and author of her book, Leading Gracefully. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on Gals.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great
to
be here.
Super busy schedule.
Yeah.
How are you a trainer, speaker, author, presenter, all these things? That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Do you have time to sleep and eat?
Sometimes? Yeah.
Before we get into anything, I want to know, what time do you wake up in the morning?
Well, surprisingly, I wake up around 7 in the morning.
Okay.
But since I have my own business and I set my own schedule, I can work, you know, as many hours as I need to get my work done.
Okay.
So it's flexible, which is why I can
manage
everything.
Can do so many things.
Exactly.
That's awesome. You're not stuck in the office 9 to 5
exactly.
And leave and eat lunch. Cool. All right. So we met you through another female host. Our guest, we haven't had her on yet. We're going to have her on soon. And she's met you at presenting at, what was the conference?
It was the Global Microsoft Women's Conference
mm-hmm.
that took place this past March. And that's where my book, Leading Gracefully, was launched. And it was an amazing two-day conference. Women from Microsoft from all over the world were there. Your Amy Hood was one of the speakers. They had some great keynotes, but it was a really great opportunity for the women of Microsoft to come together and really learn and share with one another,
mm-hmm.
and it was awesome.
Did they like your book? Did you
yeah.
give a free copy out?
I did. They gave away 2,000 copies
wow,
of my book.
That's
it was
awesome.
Really exciting.
Have you been the year before? Or
no, that was my first time.
Okay. Are you going to come
and
back?
And I was able to do a keynote as well
nice.
On overcoming obstacles to self-confidence.
Nice.
Which was really well received. So yes, absolutely. I'd love to come back.
Cool.
Yeah.
I can't make those decisions to invite you, but I'm sure you will be invited again.
I hope so.
So you're the CEO of, what was the company?
Highest Path Consulting.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So Highest Path is basically a company that offers diversity and inclusion coaching, training, and consulting to companies like Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working as an executive coach for the past 8 years, and I work with director level and above,
okay.
Mid-manager and above. Executives, and my specialty and my passion is really women's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So preparing women to really take their career to the next level,
mm-hmm.
And really close the gender gap in companies like Microsoft, particularly
yeah.
in tech.
How many Microsofties do you think you've worked with over the years?
Hundreds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been involved with the unconscious bias training
mm-hmm.
that's been going on now for the past year.
Yeah.
It's part of the culture change initiative at Microsoft that's put in place by Satya and his team.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been involved with sort of the, you know, development and design of the programs that
mm-hmm.
have been rolled out. So yes, lots of people.
That's awesome.
That's
so before we go deeper into the book you just launched and your company, let's start back, Monique.
Yes.
Like younger years.
And
how you
the
ended up here. The dorky years.
Yeah, okay.
How did you get to where you are today? Let's start in high school.
Let's go to back to high
Let's
school.
Let's go to back. What were your interests?
So I went to an all-girls Catholic high school.
Okay.
Let's just start there.
Oh, nice.
Which was empowering,
mm-hmm.
obviously, but also challenging. And so I was a huge introvert in high school growing up. Very quiet, very shy. I was the big nerd in high school. And, you know, it wasn't until college when I started to really kind of gain some confidence
mm-hmm.
and really understand who I was a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really tough, you know,
yeah.
transitioning from like an all-girls school to college where I had to talk to boys
mm-hmm.
and interact with guys. And that was really intimidating.
Yeah.
But so I had to really work to overcome those.
Which is what led you to write this book.
Yes.
You learned how to gain the confidence
yes.
and speak. That's really cool.
Yeah.
What university did you go to?
I went to San Francisco State University.
Okay.
I majored in business.
Nice.
And then went straight into the corporate world and started working in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was running big trade shows and conferences
yeah.
for eBay for many years. So I worked in Silicon Valley and sort of got my feet wet in kind of the tech culture
mm-hmm.
and really, you know, began to sort of really learn kind of what the tech world kind of is involved with
mm-hmm.
and the culture and kind of the challenges that women face
mm-hmm.
specifically. Working in a very male-dominated
world.
What
would you say are some of the challenges?
There are a lot, obviously. But for me specifically, it was one of my biggest challenges was learning how to be authentic, really, and not being afraid to be myself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I was really looking around me and seeing a lot of women who I couldn't really relate to, you know, although eBay was run by a woman, Meg Whitman, right? She was our CEO at the time. It was still very difficult to find women who were authentic. Mm-hmm. So you could see that, you know, a lot of women were adopting more masculine leadership styles, you know, kind of more command and control and more hierarchical. And so it was hard for me to find a good mentor. And I struggled with really finding my own voice, but I decided that I was going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I tried leading more authentically and it worked.
Nice.
So that
was... How big was the team you're running?
So my executive task force was 20 people, but I ran other teams. So collectively, there was hundreds of people that I was in charge of because we were putting together a 10,000 person user conference at the time. And that was really my first step into leadership. And it was really challenging.
So like, what are some of the things you did different than your male counterparts?
So I tell the story in the book, and what I did on the first day of our big task force meeting, and I was a young manager, I was in my mid-20s, so I went in there, and basically I admitted that I had never done anything like this before.
And admitting like a weakness, I never see that in our male counterparts, I'm sorry, but like I'm always like, I don't know how to do something, and I'm okay with saying that, because I don't want to sound like I know what I like all the time.
So many people, especially women, are afraid to admit that because it's going to look like you maybe are weaker or incompetent or things like that. Yeah. But what it did was it empowered my team to step in and take responsibility over their areas, and it literally empowered them to do a better job. And if I hadn't done that, I think we would have failed. So it was really interesting because my previous boss, who was a female, had a different leadership style. She was a huge micromanager, and you know, she was very much kind of held the decision-making reins all the time. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let them have decision-making power. I'm going to empower them to, you know, get the job done, and they did a great job.
Release the control and learn from them. And that's awesome.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. That's a great way to manage. How do you know it worked? Because the event went so well?
Event went so well. And then people came up to me afterwards and they said, working with you has been a breath of fresh air. And I was like, what?
That's crazy. That's a huge compliment.
That was so huge. I thought everybody, you know, really loved my ex-boss, and she had been involved with that project for 10 years. And so when I heard that, it was just, that was when I knew I was onto something.
Yeah? So what happened after that? Were you like, I need to write a book? Or what was the path after that?
It took a couple more years till
I wrote. A little bit more confidence and building, and then you were like, okay.
But building confidence was another huge one for me personally. And I see that with a lot of women, especially in the tech world, because, again, not admitting weakness, not wanting to be seen like you don't know something. I mean, women are held to much higher standard than men. Usually, so we feel like we need to overcompensate, right? We need to work longer hours, we need to work harder, we need to, you know, be perfect at everything. And so it's harder for women in that respect. And so, yeah, just building my confidence was a big challenge. But once I did that, I was able to do kind of pursue the things that I wanted to in my life. And one of them was starting a business. So I ended up leaving the corporate world and starting my own consulting business, which was really cool.
That's crazy.
I have to ask, like, what gave you the courage and like to be able to be vulnerable and say, hey, I don't know, like, you know, this is my first time managing with this kind of situation. Like, what like inspired you to be able to do that?
Well, because I actually didn't know what I was doing. And if I went in and pretended, I knew that we were going to fail. Because I actually didn't know what I needed to you know, manage or direct, or, you know, what were the steps that we needed to take. And I knew that a lot of people on that task force had worked on this event before, and they had expertise. So I knew that if I didn't do that, we were going to fail. So it was out of necessity in that particular instance. Mm-hmm. But it worked out. And I think the more you can have the courage mm-hmm. to be vulnerable, it can really make a huge impact. The other thing I did, though, on top of that, was I had a specific vision. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just about admitting like I didn't know what I was doing. I admitted that, but then I said, I want us to make this event a huge success. Like, mm-hmm. I want this to be the best attended, most well-organized conference that our community has ever attended. And that strong vision, mm-hmm. I think, inspired my teammates to really step in. So I think you have to do a couple of different things yeah. in there to make it successful.
A mission statement, a vision, the big picture, that always helps me too. Like, drives me yes. to do better because I'm like, oh, that's the end goal.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how did you jump from eBay to your own company?
Yeah, so, you know, I knew that I wanted to make a bigger impact in the world, and I just knew that there was something bigger for me out there. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. And so I put that intention out there, like, I want to find a career that's really going to help me help other people, really. Mm-hmm. And I went on a journey, on a search. And I really had to sort of learn who I was at my core in order to do that. And I tried out different kind of career paths and took some classes and interviewed people and did a lot of research. And then I stumbled upon this profession called coaching, mm-hmm. which was really new back then. This was like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't really heard of it before, but when someone described it to me, I was like, this is it. This is perfect for me. It's the perfect combination of skill sets that will help me kind of give of my gifts, but also make an impact. Mm-hmm. So I took my first coaching class and loved it. And it made me feel really alive. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew that I was onto something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what? Did you just have to go get an LLC and get the brand and logo and all that good stuff? That easy?
It's kind of that easy.
Really?
But
I'm going to go make my own business right now. I'm leaving you guys. Lights on, cameras on, I'm going.
There you go.
Yeah.
You can do it. You can do it.
But a lot of people at Microsoft do have a side business.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think for me, it was also the confidence, mm-hmm. you know, believing that I could do something like that.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, I had to really work on that. Mm-hmm. But then once I did, and I started believing in myself and believing that I could actually make money and support myself mm-hmm. and do this, it became easier to put myself out there and, you know, promote myself and market my mm-hmm. services, like all those things, you know, with that confidence. Kind of doesn't happen.
Yeah. So did you have like a mission statement in your head about the company? Like, I'm going to focus on like corporate people, or was it really precise, or was it just kind of a general, I want to coach?
I started out life coaching, so it was more general. Okay. And then I realized that I could make a bigger impact as an executive coach because I had a background in the corporate world. Uh-huh. So I had all this knowledge and experience, and I figured out, you know, I could combine that with kind of my coaching skills, mm-hmm. and that would be, you know, a better fit for me. Mm-hmm. And then really realizing that I wanted to help women, mm-hmm. That was another big kind of aha moment for me, mm-hmm. when I saw that there was a real need. I wanted to help women, like, not have to go through, you know, all the mistakes
all those
challenges that I went through.
Yep.
So that's when I kind of niched myself, mm-hmm. and that also really helped kind of position my company and differentiate mm-hmm. myself. So
was that in, like, the first year of owning the company, or
that was probably in the first 3 years?
Okay.
You know, trying, you know, just mm-hmm. kind of like
evolving it.
Yeah, it and
cool.
transitioning and figuring things out.
So it says here you've worked with clients in Microsoft, Deloitte, all these crazy companies, Walmart, Google, it goes on and on.
Yeah.
So how? What is the dynamic you see? Is it women in tech companies are kind of the same as women in, like, commerce, or do they have the same roadblocks, issues, or is it different?
I think women in tech have a specific challenge and roadblock because of kind of the gender bias that exists in the tech world specifically, mm-hmm. but I think in general, yes. I mean, we see a leadership gap across the board.
Yeah.
So right now, there's only 4% of women who are CEOs of Fortune 500s,
mm-hmm.
and about 14% who are in top leadership positions.
Yeah.
So that's still a big gap.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of work to do. But I think the challenges that women in tech face are pretty unique to the tech space.
Do you address those when you coach people?
Yeah, I mean, here at Microsoft, we're really talking about kind of gender bias, mm-hmm. right, and unconscious bias mm-hmm. and how that gets in the way mm-hmm. from everything from like the hiring process mm-hmm. to, you know, promotion and mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So, you know, really looking at the culture mm-hmm. and how the culture impacts how women are treated, how they're promoted, how they're all those things.
Cool.
I think are specific yeah. to, you know, each organization. Mm-hmm. But generally, the tech space knows it has a problem.
Okay, and that's a difference.
And is beginning to address
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Satya has been done a really good job since his Grace Hopper
mm-hmm.
statement a couple years ago to really, you know,
things have changed. Yeah.
Change things up here
for the better, for sure.
So
let's talk about the book.
Yes.
What led you to want to write the book?
You know, just meeting so many women and hearing their stories and hearing all the challenges that they're going through and then remembering the challenges that I went through kind of, you know, as I progressed in my career, it just seemed like there was a need. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't seeing any sort of solutions for women who were struggling with confidence or really struggling with how to get to that next level in their career. You know, there's so many kind of pieces of advice out there with like Sheryl Sandberg and mm-hmm. Lean In and all those kind of more traditional ways of approaching the issue. But I just had a different idea of what could work. So I just decided, you know, I'm going to put it out there and, mm-hmm. and see, you know, if it can make a bigger impact.
How long did it take you to write it?
It took me about 2 years, start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Like just having the courage to put it out there. And then I also self-published the book. So, you know, that was a whole learning curve, learning how to do all of those things.
Yeah.
So it took me about 2 years and now it's out there. So it's exciting.
With your book, you kind of talk extensively about the feminine leadership model. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you came up with that idea?
It's a trademarked idea,
yeah.
right?
It is, yeah.
How did you get a trademark? And then tell us more about the idea.
Well, you can trademark an idea if it's original and if it's yours. Mm-hmm. So that part's easy. But coming up with the model itself was really a combination of my personal experiences, the stories that I was hearing from the women who I was coaching, and also research, mm-hmm. like new neuroscience research and gender research on gender that's been coming out. And it all kind of came together in my head as this model that could help women become better leaders. Because traditionally, the leadership models that have come down are more general and more geared towards how men lead.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is that actually women have a different style of leadership. And it's really aligned with kind of the leadership skills and qualities that people are looking for in their leaders today, like in the 21st century. So I thought, you know what? I just want to create a roadmap for women that's going to help them be more authentic, more, you know, playing to their strengths mm-hmm. versus forcing them to be like guys,
mm-hmm.
right? Because being like a man works for a man.
Yep.
It actually doesn't work for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So this roadmap kind of gives women sort of an opportunity to find that balance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just being too feminine or too masculine, but it's like, how do we learn to balance both those sides
mm-hmm.
and really bring our strengths to the table?
Wow.
Yeah.
Any other plans for the book? Book tour?
Well, I've been on a book tour the past couple months, and I'll be speaking again in a couple of different places mm-hmm. In the fall. I'm going to be out there pushing the book, promoting the book as much as I can. And
so what's the plan? What's the 10-year, 20-year down the road plan?
Wow.
Ultimate goal.
Good question. I think my ultimate goal is to help as many women as I can to empower them,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, help them believe in themselves, help them go for their dreams, really help close that gender gap.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's this. It could look different in 10 years' time. I don't know. But I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now. So
you wouldn't change anything? Just keep...
Not really.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
the
really
best
awesome.
Spot.
That is.
Yeah.
And you've accomplished so much, Monique. Like, what are some of the women in your life that have inspired you throughout your career path and what you're doing?
The woman who's inspired me the most is my great-grandmother, who, she survived the Armenian Genocide. And I never got to meet her, but I grew up with all her stories, you know, as a kid growing up, hearing my grandma and my mom and my aunt speak about her fortitude and her will to, you know, her perseverance and her courage. She escaped the desert at night with a child on her back and walked through the desert for 40 days and nights to survive. And so I just think I have that kind of courage built inside me in my DNA, you know, and and that's really helped me, like, overcome, you know, times where I just felt like giving up. Just think about my great-grandmother and go, okay, I can do this. If she could do that, I can do this, you know.
So that's really inspirational.
That is amazing. Very cool.
Cool. So everyone go get the book?
Yes.
Wait, how can they grab it?
It's on Amazon, Leading Gracefully. And if people want to check out more about me, they can go to my website, MoniqueTallon.com. Hit me up if you have any questions.
Book some time, coaching time with her, all that good stuff.
And the links
time
will be
time for lightning round.
time for lightning round. Here we go.
Okay.
This is the fun part of the show. We get to know you a little better.
Oh boy.
All right.
That's true. And all the book, her book links and everything will be in the bottom. So we will include that down here in the description. I'll start off with the first question, if that's okay. Excuse me. What do you spend money on that makes your life easier?
Shoes. No, I'm just kidding. Gotta have a great pairs of shoes. Makes you feel good, right?
Right.
It's just one of those things.
That does make life easier.
Yeah, confident booster right there.
But a more serious answer to that is hiring help. Mm-hmm. So recently I just decided, you know what? I can't do everything by myself. So there's this great website that I found called Upwork.com that helps you find like everything from graphic designers to virtual assistants. And I decided to just invest in my business and hire help, and that's made my life so much better.
Nice.
Because now I can leverage my time much better.
Are they part-time, full-time, or just project-based?
Part-time and project-based, you know, as needed.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's making my life that much better.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you do in the mornings before you head to work? Do you head to work? Do you work from home?
I work from home. Okay. I head into my office in the next room. I check my Facebook feed.
Yeah!
It's the first thing I do when I wake up. It's like the way that I wake up. It's so
bad. That I feel like, but it wakes me up.
It does wake me up.
It does, right? It totally does. And then you're aware of what's happening in the world.
Yeah, and then you jump out of bed. Yeah.
Yes,
all right,
true.
Cool.
Do you listen to music when you work? And if you do, what kind of music do you listen to?
When I am writing, I can't listen to anything because I have to concentrate. But when I'm just doing more like, you know, admin work or that kind of thing, I like to have sort of like ambient, lounge, Buddha bar kind of, you know, chill out music.
Like a little cosmopolitan swanky music.
Exactly.
Do you listen to like Spotify? Do you have a playlist on there?
That's Pandora, like, yeah.
Pandora.
I love Pandora. It's the Buddha bar channel.
Oh my God,
I love
hilarious.
It. It's so fun. It makes me feel like I'm in Ibiza.
That's awesome. Clubbing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's your favorite app on your phone? Or
my favorite app?
Could be on your desktop.
You know, I don't have a favorite app. I guess I use, you know, Facebook a lot. Mm-hmm. I use Twitter. I'm getting much more into Twitter now.
Yeah.
I don't really have like one of those, you know, helpful apps that makes you do things better. I don't do any of that.
Yeah. Understandable. There's so many apps, you can't pick one.
I know, there's so many apps. There are a lot. What's the most useless gadget you ever bought? Like the worst buyer's remorse.
Useless gadget. I don't know. I think everything I buy, I use, you know, like I've never bought anything that I don't use. So that's a tough question.
You do your research before
absolutely. Yeah. You got to, when you own your own business, you can't just throw money out the door, right?
Yeah,
you gotta think about it. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so what's a product? Oh, this doesn't really apply, but we'll ask. What's a product you would want to work on? And we have examples like Blue Apron, HoloLens, Insider Outside Microsoft, but you're an author and a coach, and you don't need to work on a product.
No, I am the product.
You know what would be good, though? A video channel for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've thought about that, and this is my first, like, real video foray into video.
Give you a taste of it.
So you guys are inspiring me to do my own
For coaches,
channel.
Especially, video is a great way to get your message out. You can speak to millions.
Absolutely.
Instead of thousands in the auditorium.
Yeah. I'm gonna do that. So thanks for inspiring me, you guys.
Got another video producer. All right.
That's awesome. And then, oh, this is just a goofy one. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, God. I love Star Trek so much. And they're coming out with a new one, so I'm very excited
about
that.
That's a first.
Good for you. Yeah. Standing strong. It feels like ever since Disney bought like Star Wars, it's just you see the memorabilia everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just everywhere.
Brainwashed to love Star Wars.
It's a hard choice, though. I love both.
Now we're going back into serious
mode. Yes, here we go.
What's your advice for the younger generation?
The younger generation, I would say, like, don't buy into the hype. You can be and do anything that you want. So, you know, if you want to be an astronaut, go be an astronaut. Yeah. If you want to be, you know, a mathematician, a scientist, you can do whatever you put your mind to. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, like, go for the biggest dream that you have, mm-hmm. because you can do anything.
I think so. I feel like it's like, I can't say it enough. Like, if you want to do something, just stick to it. I mean, I was like in high school, I was like, I want to make videos. We're like, psh, you're not gonna make money making videos. This is like before YouTube, before anything.
Wow.
And now look at me, making videos.
You're making videos.
I'm just saying,
that's right.
You're gonna hear people say, you can't do it, it's not smart, why are you going that way? Go be a dentist, go be a doctor.
Yeah.
You just gotta not listen to that.
You just gotta tune it out and believe in yourself and just know that you can do it. Know that you can, you are the best at what you do and just go out and do it.
Stick to it. Confidence. I mean, if you're really bad at it and people are like, you're really bad at it, maybe go find something else. But no, stick to it for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And here's this is another kind of like light question. We want to go deep and then we'll go light. What's your biggest online time waster? Now you do a lot of things, so I don't imagine you have any like intense time wasters
just
online.
Just staring at my Facebook feed for like hours at a time. I know. My husband like yells at me. He's like, get off your Facebook, and I'm like, get off your car site. He's addicted to his car, car website. So
do you have a fan page for your like book and all that
I
stuff?
I do. Okay. Yeah.
So you have to be on Facebook. For
I have
work.
To be on Facebook for work. Exactly. Yes. So that's my excuse.
Exactly.
Awesome. And we'll put that, it's in the description too, her Facebook page.
So what was your first success? What would you say in your career, like that moment that you like to tell people about?
Oh, my first success. My first success really was when I got promoted, like they gave me, I volunteered to take a higher position. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was going to mean getting a promotion. So I went in and I talked to my boss and I said, you know, okay, so does this mean that I'm getting a better title or more money? And he just looked at me and he's like, no. And I was like, well, but I'm doing all this other work now. And he's like, yeah, but we don't really know who you are. You know, and I had been there for 4 years and nobody had told this was my boss's boss, about who I was or what I was doing or anything like that. So I had to earn my promotion big time. And when he said no to me, I almost quit that day.
Wow.
But I chose to stay and stick it out and prove myself. And within 3 months, I got my promotion.
Wow.
So that felt really good.
Yeah.
Right? It just felt like, okay, I can do this. And now I'm being recognized for my contributions. So that was a really big confidence booster.
Yeah. Was it unheard of to be an eBay to be a manager at your mid-20s? Or was that common then?
It wasn't that common. Okay. I was one of the younger people there. But it was kind of unheard of to work 4 years and not get a promotion. You know, so people who were less hardworking than me and less smart were getting promoted. And it was just sort of like, why?
So you just proved yourself.
I had to prove myself, but then I also had to ask for it. I had to go in and say, like, I want a promotion, and I want this. And, you know, if I hadn't gone in and asked for it that day, I probably wouldn't
Never
have gotten it.
Did you follow up again and again, or?
I didn't have to. Okay. They gave it to me.
Okay. Just patiently waited, like, 2 months, and then
and then I got it, thankfully. Yeah.
Cool.
That answer kind of leads into our next question, which was, tell us a problem you worked on. And how did you solve it? And that was a big one right there. Do you have any other anecdotes of like a personal struggle that you had and how you overcame it?
Personal struggle.
Or professional.
Professional.
When she made her Facebook page, she was just like, oh, what picture do I use?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the transitioning careers was tough, right? Because suddenly you're going from a career that you're really good at to something that you're just starting out in. And that was like a big shock to my system. It was like, whoa, what am I doing here? And starting your own business and being your own boss, like, nobody gives you a playbook on how to do that. Mm-hmm. So it took a while for me to really find my rhythm in terms of, you know, just like being disciplined, like getting up in the morning and, you know, like holding myself accountable to tasks and, you know, asking for help and hiring people and doing all those things that you need to do as an entrepreneur. You have to wear a lot of hats. And that was kind of difficult going from just being, you know, a manager inside of a company where you have a boss mm-hmm. and a structure and all those things. So I had to really learn how to discipline myself and put on that sort of entrepreneurial mindset hat on.
Yeah.
And that was helpful, but it took a while to get there.
Yeah. Cool. Last question.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee all the way.
Hell yeah.
Yes. She's our girl. That's it. All right. Well, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you so much.
Learned a lot.
You
I hope you
rock.
Guys did too. And take it away.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Monique. I really appreciate it. Like, with your busy schedule and everything, we really appreciate you taking
Thanks
the time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
This
is fun. We're so stoked to have you. And please check out her book. The links are in below. And check out her website. And that is another episode of Gals. Thank you so much.